Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports and Network. Ben Glaze, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Join us now, as he typically does, on a Monday. He covered the Detroit Tigers minor league organization for a couple of decades. Also a member of the National Football Foundation and Football Writers Association of America. He's our good buddy. His name is John Wagner. You can find him on Twitter at John Wagner Media. Johan, my good man, how are you? How's life? How are things, partner?
Anthony, I am a little slice of heaven this morning. How are you doing? Anything to talk about?
I'm doing just fine. Life is good. Look, Red Wings with a big win yesterday, keeping the playoff hopes alive. Opening day bonanza for the Detroit Tigers, the NFL draft. You know, we're moving into the three-week range now. I mean, this place is electric around here. Opening day was electric. What happened the rest of the weekend wasn't necessarily so. How are you, my good man?
Well, and you didn't even mention the basketball mayhem over this weekend with obviously one game to go yet tonight. But, I mean,
great matchup. Purdue-UConn. Awesome.
What's that?
I said Purdue-UConn. Awesome matchup. We got the ones in there. Zach Edey, Klingon versus Edey is going to be a free-for-all. 2 7-footers going at it. Oh, I can't wait.
Well, and you know, Anthony, I have to admit to you, because you know my feeling. A lot of times we don't get the two best teams in the championship game. This year, in my opinion, which, you know, that and a dollar isn't even enough to get coffee at Starbucks. But my opinion, this year we have the two best teams.
Well, because they're the two best teams. That's what happens. When you're the best, you don't even make it easy. Like, you just march through people. You just thump them when you're the best. If you're a fraud that everybody's been hyping up, then yeah, you can get caught in the fray a little bit. You can get dropped in the first or second round, not make it. But when you're the best, you make it. You show up.
Well, here's the thing though, Anthony, and I hit some people. Well, you keep using the tired North Carolina State in 83 and Arizona in, what was it, 96 or 98, whatever year they finished fifth in the Pac-12 and won the national title. I'm like, okay, you want me to be more current? Let me be more current. How about last year when UConn, and trust me, in the tournament last year, UConn rolled, if you remember. Not only did they win all six of their games, they were never really challenged. I mean, kind of like this year, up until Alabama on Saturday night, they had it pretty easy. But last year, they were the fourth place team in their league. How can you tell me that's the best team in the country? They were the best team in March. I'll grant you that, no doubt. But over the course of the season, I'm not so sure. However, that's an argument for another time. This year, it appears we have the two best teams. And, you know, I but also, Anthony, I caught your innuendo there of, you know, as opposed to frauds that are out there running around. My guess is that's a veiled reference at a team that wears Old English D's on its uniforms. Did I catch it, or am I reading something that isn't there?
You're reading something that isn't there, because I got to ask you, too. You and I, we both know an individual who on Friday, we got some breaking news Friday evening. Trisha Cullup is going to take the or has taken the Miami Hurricanes job. So she is leaving the Mid-American Conference and headed to the Sunshine State. I wanted to get your thoughts on that because I was so happy for her. Yeah, couldn't have been a nicer person, a wonderful coach, has done everything you can do at the mid-major level. Time to take on some new challenges, the ACC, you know, multiple bids going into the tournament, a chance to chase a national championship. Want to get your thoughts on that one real quick.
Trisha Cullup, in her time as the women's basketball coach at the University of Toledo, did a terrific job. I mean, that has become, it is not the flagship for mid-major basketball on the women's side. I'd love to see what steps in front of that. I mean, that their attendance, that's the part that slays me. That's the one that blows my mind. Their attendance is outrageous for a mid-major women's basketball
top program. 30 in the country annually, year over year.
She deserves the credit for that. She does. And you know, they've had good teams. She's shown she can win. So, you know, we wish her well on the way up. And if you're a Toledo fan, all you could do is thank her for what she did for that program.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened is what they say, John. Somebody says that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those where, and this is going to come off rude, and all I can say is duly noted. Tell me if I'm wrong, because I know I'm right when I say this. That's kind of the world that you have chosen if you're following Mid-American Conference schools. Unless they blow up their blueprint and try and do something different to compete with the Big Ten, which would be draw in boatloads of money, spend boatloads of money on athletics, money they don't have. So this ain't happening. I mean, don't even dream this, friend. But until they do that, they're at a different level. And that's why you got to understand, if you're following a MAC team and a coach has great success, others are going to come calling, and they're probably going to leave for a higher level. I mean, that's the nature of the beast.
And that's the sign of a great coach and a great program, right? I mean, at one point in football, the Mid-American Conference was, you know, they were nicknamed the cradle of coaches, John. And that's why, like, when you're really good, everybody knows this. You do as the best you can with where you're at and what you got, right? And that's what Tricia Cullup did. I mean, we saw it happen with Matt Campbell going to the Big 12. We saw it with Robin Fralick at Bowling Green going to Michigan State. Like, look, I mean, that's the path. That's what happens. Nick Saban left Toledo, went to Michigan State, and then left Michigan State to head down south.
Anthony, I got to interrupt you for a second. I don't want that error to go uncorrected.
Which one?
Nick Saban didn't leave Toledo to take the Michigan State job. He left Toledo.
Went to Cleveland.
To be a defensive coordinator, to be an assistant coach for the Browns.
That's right.
And that is, if you don't mind, I want to take the ball and run for it for a second, because in football, the MAC cradle of coaches banner, unfortunately, that's gone. We've seen several cases this year and in years past where head coaches in the MAC leave to take assistant coaches' jobs at the Power 5 level. I mean, Buffalo lost its coach in that manner. I remember a few years back when Central Michigan sent Dan Enos. He took a job as an assistant. Now, you could argue he was a step ahead of the posse, and I'm not going to argue that. I'm just saying he did not leave that for a higher-paying or bigger head coaching job. And that's started to become the way for MAC football coaches. I mean, if you're a Toledo football fan, you know, Jason Campbell's done a great job in Toledo. Don't misunderstand. But he's done a good enough job that you would think he would have gone to a higher level at this point. The fact that he hasn't, some may see that as a reflection of Jason Campbell. To me, watching from a distance, I look at it more as a problem that the Mid-American Conference has. You know, their coaches are not being seen as a logical hire for a Power 5 school. There are exceptions. Right here in Minnesota, we have one with PJ Fleck. But you don't see a lot of MAC coaches leaving to take jobs as head coaches at Power 5 conferences, as you did back in the day.
And as for Jason Campbell, I mean, I thought that maybe he would be gone to Ohio State. I thought he was going to be gone to the Miami Hurricanes, Boston College, but those were all offensive coordinator positions. So kind of very, very interesting to see, you know, how things sort of play out right now in Mid-American Conference football. Now, I see your attempt at wording something I said into a dig, and I raise you one now, my good man. My Detroit Tigers, we were going to the World Series a week ago at this time, and now all of a sudden they have lost two in a row. They've lost two out of three to the Oakland A's. They were outscored in those two losses by a final tally of 11-1 to the Oakland A's, soon to be of Sacramento, and potentially 5 years from now in Las Vegas. That's a debacle for its own day. But how in God's green earth did that happen?
They play 162 of these, Anthony. And a couple of things I would note. Oakland has had its way over the Tigers in Detroit in recent years. This is not a Detroit came in with a 12-game home winning streak against Oakland and suddenly lost to. Oakland has had a lot of success in Detroit in the recent past. And that's, I'm not looking back to when Oakland was a playoff team and Detroit was not. Last year, I believe Oakland won at least 2 out of 3, if not 3 out of 4 in Detroit. And that has been a recent phenomenon. The problem here is sample size. Okay? Sample size is 2 games. Too small. Way too small. In fact, I would say the concerns that you have about this team, and trust me, I have a few concerns. If you follow me on Twitter, you know right off the top what one of my concerns is for the Tigers. But the sample size is small, so I'm not looking for the panic button to go crazy and push it until, you know, sirens fall or, you know, until the whistle blows, the sirens wail, and we've got to make court corrections. So, 2 games. I mean, yeah, they didn't play very well. Yes, they are not hitting well at all. If I'm being honest here, Anthony, it's not that I don't have concerns about this team, but the fact that they lost 2 out of 3 to Oakland, that doesn't concern me. On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 3, probably a 2. It happened.
Look, I expect perfection every day of the week. All right, so we're 9 games into the season. Am I reading too much into Javi Baez not being in the lineup yesterday?
Yeah, you are. I mean, well, you know what?
A little early for rest day, John. I mean, only pitchers get more time off than NBA players.
Yeah, the true answer is no, but yes is the answer I'd give you. I mean, we've got to understand that Javi Baez is not worth the money he's getting paid right now. I mean, I know, earth-shattering. I hope you were all seated and seatbelted for that, okay? I'm telling you something you didn't realize. I get it. Uh-huh. But because of that, the Tigers have made a conscious decision that, hey, just because we're paying him boatloads of money, that doesn't mean we got to send him out there every day and play. Now, you're going to get him most days. He's going to be out there most days for a defense, if nothing else. But this is not a guy who's going to play 162. You're just hoping that he hits more than he hit, obviously, last year and more than he has early on. So my answer would be you gotta dial back the expectations for Javi Baez.
We have to dial back the expectations in general, don't we?
Offensively, I got to be honest. That's one of my concerns. I don't see a lot of guys taking great at-bats right now, okay? And I get there's 162 games, and all it takes is, you know, a couple of guys getting it together, kicking it in gear, and away we go. My concern is this. A lot of times you'll say, by the end of the season, a guy's going to have the numbers that you see on his bubblegum card every year. And that's not wrong for veterans. There are not a lot of veterans in this lineup for Detroit. There are not a lot of veterans. There are a lot of young guys who show a bunch of talent, but they've got to prove it. And they've got to prove it again and again and again. Now, the guys that concern me right now are guys who have very small sample sizes, and the Tigers are counting on them a lot. I'll give you one example right off the bat. It's Kerry Carpenter. He's a talented high ball hitter, there's no doubt. But he only has had 1 or 1.5 big years to to say that he's the staple in the middle of the lineup, honestly, is a little concerning to me. Honestly. Zach McKinstry had a great year offensively last year. You can't count on him in the middle of the lineup. I mean, hopefully, eventually, that's what he becomes. But I don't think you can count on that right now. You've got Holt Keith, obviously talented guy. I mean, I see why the Tigers gave him the money they did. But you got to understand that there's a lot on him. I would rather see him hit lower in the lineup. The problem is, how low in the lineup can you hit him? You know, right off the bat, your lineup has probably a weak hitting catcher. You have Baez or whoever your shortstop is. So right off the bat, you can't bat him lower than seventh. And, you know, depending on who your third baseman is, suddenly he's batting sixth. And, you know, if you have one other concern offensively, all of a sudden, Colt Keith is in the top of your lineup. That's a dangerous offensive situation for the Tigers. So it's one of those where I hate to push the panic button because it's April. It's not even a dozen games. It's not hitting weather. Okay, check. You're right on all counts. But the at bats I'm seeing right now, concerned is probably too strong, but I don't like what I'm seeing. How about that?
He is, what's a better way to say concerned here, John? He is,
I'm on alert.
He's on alert. Ooh, good word choice.
I'm on alert.
He's on alert. Yeah. Well, the Tigers, they're heading to Pittsburgh because they got two against the Buccos and off day Wednesday, and they'll be right back at home this coming weekend. His name is John Wagner. Find him on Twitter at John Wagner Media. Johan, my good man, as always, appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by. We'll touch base next week.
That sounds like a plan. Hopefully the Tigers will be playing so well that Anthony will want World Series tickets.
Yes.
That's the hope. Hope everybody has a great week.